B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, six lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, Mi shebo baderech, if somebody came from a distance, on a journey, and v'lo hoya b'yodei lulav litoil, and it was the morning, and there's a mitzvah on every day of Sukkah's morning to shake the lulav, he didn't have a lulav to shake. L'kashi konis l'beisai, then as soon as he gets home, then he should shake the lulav. And if, for whatever good or bad reason, he didn't shake the lulav when he got home, then yitel el shulchonoi, then even if in the middle of the meal he remembers or lulav becomes available, he should stop the meal and shake the lulav. Loi not al shachris, if he didn't shake the lulav in the morning, yitel ben arbaim, he can even take it in the afternoon, shekol hayom kosher lulav, the whole day is a kosher to take the lulav. Of course, we try and do it at the earliest possible time, but any time during the day one is allowed to and able to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. Says the Gemara, and there seems to be a contradiction here. Omras, you say, noited al shulchonai. We saw in the Mishnah says that even if you're in the middle of your meal, stop your meal in the middle and shake the lulav. Lememra, this teaches us the mifsuk, that you have to stop your meal in order to shake the lulav. Or aminu, this seems to contradict something we learned in Maseches Shabbos. In Maseches Shabbos we saw that im hischilu ein mafsikin. If you started a meal, if one's not allowed to start, it's not a meal. If one's there are certain things, it's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Test, certain things one's not allowed to do from the time of Mincha. First daven Mincha and then do what you have to do. And what happens if somebody, for example, going to the barber or to eat or to start a court case? Now what happens if somebody did start and now it's come the time of Mincha? Do you have to stop your meal in order to daven mincha? So it says there, ein mafsikin, you don't need to stop the meal in order to daven mincha. So the Gemara is asking, why should I have to stop the meal to shake lulav if I don't need to stop the meal to daven mincha? Omer of Safra. Rav Safra says, lei kosher. I'll give you I'll answer that. Hod ikka shoyis bayoim, hod leka shoyis bayoim. There's no difference between lulav and mincha. It just depends how many hours of the day you have left. In the case in Shabbos, we're talking about where he's eating his meal early enough that it's reasonable to assume that after the meal he'll have time to daven mincha. So you don't need to stop your meal. Here we're talking about when there's a reason to believe that the meal is going to continue until the end of the day, and then he will not have time to shake the lulav. So stop your meal and shake lulav. But the same would apply to mincha, that if your meal was late and you wanted to, and you know that if you wait till the end of the meal, you're going to miss mincha, of course you stop in the middle of the meal and daven mincha. So this was Rav Safra. Rav Safra just said, hod ikashois, hod lekashois, and the Gemara assumes it's to answer the question, to differentiate between mincha and lulav. That the truth is, it's not to do with mincha and lulav, it's to do with how many hours left in the day. Omar Rava. Rava says, no, the original question is not a question. And therefore we assume that Rav Safra gave this answer to answer a different question. Why is this not a question? Omar Rava, my kashya. What's the question? You're asking a contradiction between mincha and lulav. Dilma, it could be that they're both talking about that you have time. And even by lulav, it could be he's got time and he would be able to find the time after his meal to shake lulav. And nonetheless, you would stop in the middle of the meal to shake lulav. Whereas with mincha, we wouldn't say that. Why? Because hal shaking lulav deiraisa. It says in the Torah, lekachtem lachem, you have to shake the lulav. Ha derabonon, but davening mincha is a mitzvah derabonon. And a mitzvah derabonon, we say, you can finish off your meal and daven mincha afterwards. But a mitzvah deiraisa of lulav, stop your meal and shake lulav. Elo Omar Rava. Rava says, you know what the question was and what Rav Safra was actually answering? A different question. Ikashi ho kashi, this is the question. That there's a contradiction within our Mishnah. First it says, Lekashi konis lebeisoi, noitle al shulchonoi. It says in the Mishnah that yitel al shulchonoi, if you're in the middle of a meal, stop your meal and shake lulav. Alma de mafsik. You see from there, as we saw before, that you stop your meal in order to shake lulav. V'harda tonya, and then the continuation of the Mishnah, the last statement in the Mishnah says, Lo not al shachris, yitel bein arbaim, that you're allowed to wait, you have permission to shake lulav even later in the afternoon. Al-Maloy Mafsik, if you're allowed to look at Chila B'Yitil Bein Arbaim, that you can shake Lulav late in the afternoon, why should I have to stop my meal in the middle, much earlier on in the day? So there seems to be a contradiction within our Mishnah as to whether Lulav we do or do not have to stop. Omer of Safra, and there the Rav Safra says, Lo Yikasha, Hodu Ikashoyis Bayim, Hodu Lekashoyis Bayim. That it depends on what time of the day it is. If there's enough time that after your meal you'll be able to still shake the lulav, in that case, you can wait till Beinu Arbaim, you can wait till afterwards. But if it's reasonable to believe that the meal is going to extend till the end of the day, then you have to stop the meal and shake the lulav. Omar Abzera, and now Abzera is arguing on Rava. My Kushya, your question, Rava, between the two statements in the Mishnah that seem to contradict each other, does one have to stop in the middle of a meal or not? What's the question? Dilma, maybe, mitzvah lafsuke. It's preferable, it's encouraged, it's a mitzvah that one should yitel al shulchanu, one should stop one's meal in order to shake the lulav. V'iloi pasik, however, somebody who didn't stop the middle of his meal, yitel beinu arbaim. The Mishnah continues and says that he can take the lulav even later in the afternoon. Shekol ayim kosher lulav. Elo amar Rabzeira says la'olam kadam rinon mikora. The truth is that the question that Rav Safra was answering was the original one, and the question was why mincha do we not stop a meal for, and lulav we do stop a meal for. Udekashi lechan. If you're going to ask what Rava asked before, that the question would seem not to be a question because lulav is min ha'Torah and mincha is derabbanon. Here we're talking about the second day of Yom Tov and on. Derabbanon, that the chiyuv to shake lulav outside the Beis HaMikdash from the second day and on is only a mitzvah derabbanon. Oskinon, that's what we're talking about. And therefore it is a good question. Mincha is derabbanon, lulav on the second day is derabbanon. Why do you not stop for mincha and you do stop for lulav? And that's what Rav Safra said, that it depends on how many hours you have left in the day. Daikanami, how do I know that this Mishnah is talking about the second day of Yom Tov and not the first day? Midik Tony, since it says Mishabo Baderech, that this person is coming from a journey. Vein biyodi lulav, and he doesn't have a lulav. Disol kadaitach biyom tov rishni, if you're talking about Yom Tov and not Chol HaMoed, Mishori, is it mutter to go on such a long journey? You're not allowed to travel outside the Tchum on Yom Tov. So it must be, if he's coming from such a distance, it must be that it was on Chol HaMoed, and therefore it must be it was from the second day and on, and therefore it's only Derabbanon, and that was the question, and Rav Safra answered that it depends on how much time you have left in the day, and that's how Rav Zera explained this Gemara. Continues the next Mishnah. And now, since we mentioned earlier on the Flamed Zayin Amud Beis, we started the Halachas of Halil, the Na'anuim, so now we're going to continue another Mishnah with the Halachas of Halil. And we're going to have to become a little bit familiar. We all know what the Halil looks like in the Siddur, but we have to become a little bit familiar with what Halil really looks like in the Tehillim. Let's see the Mishnah. Mi shehayo eved oy isha oy koton makrin oisu. Now we know there's a concept which is very little used today, but back in the day where people were not familiar with tefillas, with brachas, and then other people would actually say brachas and tefillas for each other. The people who were bekiyim, the people who were expert in the tefillas, would say them. And the other people who were not bekiyim, the amei haaretz, they would just listen. And there would be a concept of shemea ka'ina. Just listening and is enough, and it's as if you said it. The question is, who is saying and who is listening? So the Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to say the halil. Now, what happens if somebody doesn't know the text of Halil? So he's going to ask somebody else to say it for him, and he'll just listen. What happens if that someone else is an eved, a slave, an isha, a woman, a cotton, or a minor? Makrin oisei. In the event that they are reading the Halil for him, then if in that case, it's not good enough just to listen. Because for them to be moitzi, for them to say it, and it should be considered as if you said it, that's only good if they have the same level of requirement as you do. But if you're a gadol, you're a proper Yisrael over bar mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to say halil. They do not have a chiyuv. A woman doesn't have a chiyuv. She's allowed to say halil, but she doesn't have a chiyuv. A minor is allowed to say halil. He might be required midin chinuch, but he doesn't have the same requirement as the person who's trying to be yaitza. And therefore, if they're going to read it, then it's not good enough just to listen. You have to actually say over. You don't know how to say halil. That's why you're asking them to say it. It's no problem. They should read the word or a pasuk, say it after them. Word by word, because you have to say the whole halil. They cannot be moitzi you. They cannot be, so to speak, an agent. It's not really shlichus, but they can't do it for you and you just listen because they are not Baruch Yuva. You have to say it yourself. And a person who needs to resort to his slave, to a woman, or to a minor is cursed. If he's so unlearned that he needs to resort to people of this caliber to be moitzi him, that's not a good sign. Im hoya gadol, however, if the person who's reading it to him is a gadol, is an adult, then makra oisai, then that person, that gadol, can read the halil for him. And oina achrov haliluka. So normally with shemea ka'ina, it's enough if you just listen. However, for some reason which Rashi here doesn't explain what it is, other mafarshim explain why, but over here, that besides for listening to the halil from them, you have to repeat the word haliluka. You have to repeat that word. Now, how many times you have to repeat it and where you have to repeat it is a very big discussion. It seems from Rashi that every single pasuk that there was said, this person would say, when he would say the pasuk, then this person would say haliluka when listening, and that's his response to what this person is saying, and that seems to be a requirement for halil. Continues the Mishnah, mokim shenoagu lichpil. There were those places that they would actually lichpil, they would double over all the psukim in halil. The nichpil, those places where the custom was to repeat every single pasuk. Our custom is that we only double over the psukim towards the end of halil. With hoidu, there's four psukim there, and then towards the end, there's with on Hashem Oshiyono, on Hashem Atzlichono, the psukim before that. We're going to see soon, but we only repeat certain psukim. We only double certain psukim. However, there were those customs that they would repeat the entire halil. Lifshoit, and those who had the custom just to read halil plain, just once each pasuk, lifshoit, they should just read it plain, you should follow the custom. Levorich, those that had the custom to make a brocha on the halil, we'll see in the Gemara which brocha, is this talking about the brocha before halil, or the brocha, the end of halil that we know as yalelucha, yevorich, hakoil kaminig medina, everything is according to the custom of the place that you live in. Continues the Gemara, says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, we learned in a brisa, be'emes omru, and these four lines here, Tosa says, it doesn't really come in here, it's just the Mishnah mentioned the curse for somebody who needs to resort to people who are of lower caliber than him regarding their requirement of a mitzvah, needs to resort to them to read out to him the text that he has a requirement to say, is there's some curse there. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa, Maseches Brachos Daf Chof, Be'emes Omru, and Rashi says that whenever it says Be'emes in truth, it means that's the halacha, nobody argues with it, that Ben, we're talking here about Birchas HaMozin, we know the Pasuk says, V'chalto v'savato v'rachto, if you eat and are satisfied, you have to bench. Say Birchas HaMozin. What happens if this person doesn't know the text of Birchas HaMozin? Then a ben mevorich la'oviv, then a son can bench for and be moitzi his father, v'eved mevorich l'rabbi, a slave can say the Birchas HaMozin for his master, v'isham v'reches le'baylo, and a woman can say the bracha for her husband. The Chachomim said that a person is cursed if his wife and minor children have to read the Birchas HaMozin for him. Because such a person, it's clear that he should have been more learned than that. He should have been able to bench. And if he's so unlearned, he cannot bench, that his wife and young children have to be moitzi him, then that's not a good sign. And here the question comes, and this is a big question, which is actually the subject in the Brachas Daf Chof. How can a minor, for example, be moitzi his father with Birchas HaMozin if the minor doesn't have the same level of requirement than the father? The father has a biblical requirement, the minor at the most has a rabbinical one because of chinuch. And the Gemara there says we're talking about that the father only ate enough food that he had only a rabbinical requirement to say Birchas HaMozin, and therefore his young child could be moitzi him. But that's not the subject of this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, we're back to Halil now. Omar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa gvirta ikele mashma miminhoga dahalilo. And this is something which is very interesting. We're going to try and wind our way through this Gemara. But what's really happening is that it seems that the way Halil was said, it had three different stages. There was a stage of the original Taikona, when there were a lot of people that were not Bekiim, they were not expert, they were not proficient, maybe Sidurim were not so common, the Amei Oras didn't know the Halil. So it would be the people who were experts, often the Shliach Tzibur would be that person who the Shliach Tzibur would read the Halil, everybody else or those who needed to would just listen and be Yetzer by virtue of listening. That was in the time, back in the days, in the original Takono, when they said, you have to read the Halil. Later on, in the time of the Amiroim, then the Minhagim changed. We're soon going to see what they did in the time of the Amiroim. Nowadays, as far as what we do, that's even different again, and that's something which the Rishonim here discuss. We're not going to go into that. But we have to be aware that the Gemara is now going to discuss the custom of the Amiroim and the way they said Halil, and the way it differed from the way that they originally said the Halil, and why. And there's going to be six seemingly interesting and unnecessary nuances in Halil, and each of these six are teaching us some halacha that applied back in the day. Let's see this inside. So Rava says, Hilchasa Gevirta, the six significant halachas, Ika Lemashma, we can understand, miminhoga d'alela, from the way that the Amiroim, Rava was an Amira, the way that he would say, that they would say the Halil in the shuls. Hu oimer haleluka, the Shliach Tzibur would say haleluka, v'heim oimrim haleluka, and they would say afterwards, after him, they would say haleluka. Even though we saw in the Mishnah that the original Takana of Halil, they would answer Halleluka on every single posuk that was said, but that was only at the beginning, when the Shliach Tzibur was being Meitzi everybody. But over here, in nowadays, in time of the Amiroim, where people were proficient with saying the Halil, and they would say the Halil themselves, even the Bekiim, even the people that were expert in saying Halil, they would read the entire Halil, so they do not need to resort to relying on other people reading for them. Nonetheless, there was a mitzvah. Once at the beginning of Halil, the Shliach Tzibur starts Haleluka, and everybody else should say the words Haleluka, even though they were going to say the entire Halil themselves. So from the fact that that's the first halacha, the first nuance, that in the time of the Amiroim, they would all say Halil, they would read themselves from the beginning until Hoidu. And then the Hoidu they would do similar to the way we do it, but they would read the Halil themselves. However, they would repeat the word Haleluka at the beginning, after the Shliach Tzibur. Why? Mikan, just to teach us that Shemitzvah Lani is Haleluka. There's a mitzvah, nothing to do with whether you need somebody else to read it to you or not. There was a mitzvah to say Haleluka. That was the first halacha. The second thing, Hu Oimir Halelu Avdei Hashem, Vehein Oimrim Haleluka. In the time of the Amiroim, when they would start saying the perek of Halelu Avdei Hashem, then everybody would repeat Haleluka again. Now, the first time, the beginning of Halil, where everybody said Haleluka, that was to teach us, like we said before, there's a mitzvah to say Haleluka. But you've already done that mitzvah. Why now are you repeating Haleluka after Halelu Avdei Hashem? This is to teach us another halacha. To teach us Mikan, that She'im Hoya Godil Makra Isoi, that in the event that this person was not expert enough to say the Halil himself, or even if he was expert, he chose not to say the Halil, he chose to rely on somebody else saying it to him, then Oina Achra Haleluka, like we saw in the Mishnah, that if you were relying on somebody else, then every pasuk you say Haleluka. So in the time of the Amiroim, they were not relying on anyone else. But in order to remember the halacha, that if you rely on somebody else, you have to say Haleluka, that's why the beginning of the perek of Halelu Avdei Hashem, they would repeat Haleluka. And now the next halacha, what the next thing they would do in the time of the Amiroim, Hu Oimer Hoidu Lashem, when the Shliach Tzibur would say Hoidu Lashem, V'hein Oimrim Hoidu Lashem, and they would also say Hoidu Lashem. Why? Mikan Shemitzvah Lano Yisroshi Prokim. Says it's very good that in the middle of, if you need to resort to somebody else reading Halil, then you say Halleluka with each posuk. However, the beginning of a chapter, the beginning of a perek, it wasn't good enough just to say Halleluka. It could be they didn't say Halleluka there at all, if the first word wasn't Halleluka. Rather, they would repeat the first words of the perek. That's the Rosh Prokim. Mikan Shemitzvah Lano is Rosh Prokim. It's Manami. Omer of Chanon Bar Rova. Mitzvah Lano is Rosh Prokim. The next halacha. Hu oimer ono Hashem oishiono. Veheino imrim ono Hashem oishiono. We do that as well. That the chazan says ono Hashem oishiono, and we repeat after him ono Hashem oishiono. Why? Mikan, this teaches us that there are certain cases where it's not good enough that you hear. You have to say it yourself. What's that? That reminds us of the halacha. If a minor is reading to us the halil, then it's not good enough. He cannot be yotzer. We cannot be yotzer from listening to him. We have to repeat it ourselves. So of course we don't need it because we say it once. So what, we're reading it ourselves. No, but don't forget the halacha. Now, there is a case that if somebody else reads it to you, you have to repeat it yourself. And in a case where the minor or somebody who's not required and doesn't have the same level of requirement as you, that you have to repeat it yourself to remind us that such halacha exists, we say Ono Hashem Hashoshiono twice. The next custom in the time of the Amiroim, Hu Oimer Ono Hashem Atzlichono, Veheino Imrim Ono Hashem Atzlichono, that the chazan says Ono Hashem Atzlichono, and we repeat it. Nikan She'embo Lichpoel Koifel. We're talking here, this reminds us of another halacha, that sometimes you heard it from somebody else, you're yoitza. But if you want, you can repeat it yourself. That means, for all intents and purposes, it's as if you said it twice. This teaching us this halacha, if you want to double the psukim, you're allowed to double the psukim. Another halacha, Hu oimer baruch haba v'heim oimrim b'shem Hashem. There was a custom then that the pasuk says baruch haba b'shem Hashem b'rechnuchem, etc. So there was a custom that the chazan would say baruch haba, and they would say b'shem Hashem. They actually wouldn't say the words baruch haba. That's teaching us the main halacha, that there is such a thing that you can hear somebody else saying it, and you're yotze, you don't need to say it yourself. Mikan l'shemea ko'ina. This is to teach us this main halacha, that listening is considered as if you said it. Continues the Gemara. Bo minei mirabchia bar Abba. They asked Rabchia bar Abba, shoma v'loy ono. What happens if somebody, he heard the halil being said to him, and he didn't repeat it afterwards? What's the halacha? Omaluhu. So Rabchia bar Abba answered to those who asked the question, that Chakima, also the wise people, the Sifraya, and also the teachers, the Reishi'ama, and the leaders of the nation, the Darshaya, and those who would expound on the halachas, they all said, Omru, they said, Shoma v'le ono yotza, that if you heard and you didn't respond, you were yotza. Itmar Nami, Omru, Shimon, Ben Pazi, Omru, Bishua, Ben Levi, Mishum, Bar Kapora, it was said in the name of Bar Kapora. Minayin, what's the source? L'shemea ko'ina, that hearing something is as if you said it. Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk in Melachim, "Koyomar Hashem hineni mevi ro el amokim azeh v'al yoishuv eisa shedivrei haseifa asher koro melech Yehuda." The pasuk says that the king of Yehuda, whose name was Yeshayahu HaMelech, he would read the Sefer Torah. Asks the Gemara, "V'chi Yeshayahu koron? Did Yeshayahu read it? The pasuk can say asher koro melech Yehuda v'al yoishofon koron. It was a shofon who actually read the pasukim." Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayagit Shofon Hasofer Amelech Lemer Sefer Nosani Chilkiyo Hakoin, Vayikro Ehu Shofon Lifnei Amelech. That it was Shofon who read the Torah before the Melech. Elo Mikan, it must be Lashemea Koina, indeed it was Shofon that read it. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says, Koro Melech Yehuda. Since the king of Yehuda was listening to the Shofon reading the Sefer Torah, it's as if the Melech Yehuda Yeshayahu himself was reading it, and that's the source for Shemea Koina. Asks the Gemara of Dilma, Boso de Kor, Neu Shofon Kor Yeshayahu. How do you know that Yeshayahu just listened to Shofon, and that's why it's considered as if Yeshayahu was saying it? Maybe after Shofon read the Psukim, Yeshayahu himself read the Psukim. And that's why it says Ashakora Melech Yehuda. Maybe they both read it. How do you know that Shemea Koina, that the king just heard it? Omer v'acha b'yakev lo yisol kadai toch. Don't entertain that idea. Tichsiv, because it says in the pasuk, Ya'an, since rach levavcha, your heart softened, vatikona mipnei Hashem, and you are humbled before Hashem, b'shomacho asher dibarti al amokim hazeh, v'al yoyishvav liyes l'shamo v'liklolo, etc. So what does it say in the pasuk? B'shomacho asher dibarti, that since you are humbled from what you heard being said. So it's clear, b'shomacho v'loy b'kracho, that the king, he heard, but he didn't read it himself. So even though he didn't hear it, it was just b'shomacho, nonetheless the pasuk says, asher koro melech Yehuda, it's considered as if he read it. This is a source that shemea ko'ina. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava. Loilema inish baruch haba, the pasuk says, baruch haba b'shem Hashem, b'rachnucha, etc. Why does it say, so Rava says, don't say baruch haba, and pause, take a breath, and then v'hadar, and then say b'shem Hashem. Elo baruch haba b'shem Hashem b'hadodi. Say baruch haba b'shem Hashem in one breath, say it together. Why? So Rashi explains that if you're going to split it up with a breath, it's as if you're saying two separate halves of the pasuk. First you say baruch haba, and then you're saying b'shem Hashem. B'shem Hashem is not a pasuk. B'shem Hashem is two words. You're saying Hashem's name. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name without a purpose. You can only say Hashem if it's part of a pasuk. But you've cut up the pasuk. It's as if it looks, at least it's perceived, as if it's not being said as a single pasuk, and therefore you should refrain from doing that. And here, the Mefarshim take out the next two lines, but we'll read them anyway. The Gemara is going to say it a couple of lines later. Omar Leir of Safra. Rav Safra says, Moisha, to referring to Rava as the god Ladoir, Shapir Komras, can it be that true what you're saying, that just because I took a pause, I took a breath, it's as if I've broken up the pasuk and I can't say Hashem's name that way? Elohosam v'hocha, we'll soon see what that refers to, Asuke Milsehi v'les lonbo. Since when I started the pasuk, I intended to finish the pasuk and I just took a breath in the meantime, it's as if I'm saying one whole pasuk and it's okay. V'omar Rava, another halacha Rava says, Loilema inish, don't say, we know that in Kaddish we say, Yeheishmei Rabba Mavorach, L'olam Olol Melmaya. So he says, don't say, Yeheishmei Rabba. First say, Yeheishmei Rabba, Hashem's name should be great. And then, Mavorach, blessed. No, Elo Yeheishmei Rabba Mavorach. You should say it all together as one. Ba'adodi, you should say them together. And Rashi doesn't explain why, what's the issue, what's wrong with saying it. You can't say, it's no Hashem's name here. So what's the issue? But either way, there's the Gemara Rava says you should say Yeheishmei Rabba Mavorach in one go. Omelir of Safra, if Safra responded, and here's where the Gemara puts it in, and everybody agrees it belongs here, Moshe, you God Ladoir, considered as Moshe. Moshe was the first God Ladoir we knew, so the G'day Ladoir are considered, are referred to as Moshe. Shapik Omras, can that be true? Elo Hosom V'Hocha, here, Hosom V'Hocha, we understand, in both cases, also with Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, also with the Yeheishmei Rabba Mavorach, Asuke Milsehu, that you initially intended to finish the whole sentence, V'Les Lon Bo, and we're not concerned, we're not worried that you took a breath in the middle. Continues the Gemara, Mokim Shenoa Gulichboil, we saw at the end of the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, that those places where they would repeat all the Psukim in Halil, you're allowed to repeat them. And Rashi on the Mishnah actually explains a very interesting phenomenon. Rashi says that there's one parasha at the end of Halil that the whole parasha is doubled. Now we know that we double over some psukim, Hoidu Lashem, Yoimano Yisrael, etc. That we double them over. But if you look in the Tehillim inside, there's no double psukim here at all. The Halil is actually split up into a number of prokim. You've got Perek Kuf Yud Gimel is the first Perek Halulu, Haluluka, Halulu Avdei Hashem, Halulu Hashem Hashem, until Eim Abon Musmeich Haluluka. And then you've got Betzeis Yisroel, the second Perek, Perek Kuf Yud Dalet. Perek Kuf Tezvav starts with Loilonu and continues into what we know as Hashem Zerchoronu Yavarich. The first half of this Perek we don't always say. And then you say Hashem Zechon Yivorech until Vanachnu Yivorech Kom Me'atov Adoylam Haleluka. And then you've got a Perek Kuf Tezayin starts with Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem. We don't always say that. Continues with Ma'oshiv and finishes with B'chatzvi Yisbeis Hashem B'seichich Yushlaim Haleluka. And then you've got a very small Perek, just two psukim, Halulu es Hashem kol goyim. And then you have Perek Kuf Yud Ches, which starts with Hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki loylam chazdoi, Yoimar no Yisrael, Yoimru no Beis Aaron, Yoimru no Yirei Hashem, that we repeat that, but in the Tehillim it's not repeated. And then it continues from Pasuk Hei with Min HaMeitzar, and goes right through till Pischuli Shari Tzedek, Zeh Hashar Lashem, Oidecho ki Anisoni. Again, psukim that we repeat, but are not repeated here. And then you've got Ono Hashem Ashiyono, which is printed once, we repeat it. Ono Hashem Atzlichono, printed in the Tehillim once. Baruch HaPa B'Shem Hashem. And the final psukim of the Halil takes us to the end of Perek Kuf Yud Ches. So Rashi makes a very interesting observation here. And Rashi says that this Perek, this last Perek, Perek Kuf Yud Ches, actually the whole Perek, everything about this Perek is doubled over. And we can go through it quickly. It starts off with Hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki loylam chazdoi. Well, the last posuk in Perek Yuf Yud Ches is also Hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki loylam chazdoi, the last posuk in Halil. And then you've got the posuk Beis Gimel and Dalet. It says three times, Yoimar no Yisroel, Yoimru no Beis Aaron, Yoimru no Yirei Hashem. Again, you've got a repetition. And then you've got Min HaMeitzar Korosi Ko, Ononi Vamerchav Ko. Again, you've got twice, Hashem's name is mentioned as Ko. The next pasuk, Hashem li lo yira, and the pasuk after that, Hashem li bo'izroi. Again, Hashem li, twice. And then you've got toiv lachsois in pasuk ches. Toiv lachsois b'Hashem yivteach ba'adam, and toiv lachsois l'Hashem yivteach ben divim. Again, twice toiv lachsois. And then you've got sabuni, you've got kol goyim suvavuni, and sabuni gam suvavuni. Again, a double. And then you've got, it's actually three, you've got sabuni chidvoirim, sabuni you've got twice. And then you've got dochoi dichisani. Again, a double term. And then you've got Ozi v'zimros ko vayihi lili Yeshua. And then you've got in the next pasuk koirin of Yeshua, twice Yeshua. And then you've got Yumin Hashem Yoremeimo, Yumin Hashem Oisachoyel, twice Yumin Hashem. And then you've got Loi Omus ki Echye. And the next pasuk v'lamove Yasir Yisani ko v'lamoves Loi Nesanoni. Again, a double term about Moves. And then you've got Pischuli Shari Tzedek, talking about the gate, Zeh Ashar Lashem. Again, a double. And that's it. From Oidcha and on is not doubled inside, but we're going to see later on in the Gemara, which is the Gemara we're about to learn now, that they would double even from here. But Rashi and the Mishnah says that since almost the entire Perek Kuf Yud Ches is doubled, therefore some had the custom to double over every pasuk from the beginning of Halil. So let's see the Gemara inside. Ton Rebbe Koifel Bo Dvorim. That Rebbe, he would double, when he'd say Halil, he would double over all the psukim from Ono Hashem Oishiyono. From Pasuk Chof Hei, Ono Hashem Oishiyono, Ono Hashem Atzlichono, which we do that. We do double from Ono Hashem Oishiyono until the end of Halil. Rebbe Lozo ben Parto, Moisev bo dvorim. Rebbe Lozo ben Parto, he would double even more psukim. My Moisev, where would he double? Omar Abaya. Moisef lichpoil me oidecho lemato. From oidecho ki anisoni, he would double. And we do that as well. In ours, when we say halil, we double from oidecho ki anisoni until the end. And all the psukim till oidecho, they are doubled in and of themselves, as we explained before. Continues the Gemara, levorich, yivorich. We saw in the Mishnah that there's some people had the custom to make the brocha on halil, others not. Omer Abaya. Loishon, this machleikus, or this difference in customs, is elo lachayrov, is only the halalucha, the end of halil. Avalafonov, but before you say halil, mitzvah levorich. Of course, it's a regular mitzvah, and you have to say a bracha. The Omer Vyoda Mashmuel, there's a famous rule that we saw in Psochim Daf Zayin, that kol mitzvah is kulon, all mitzvahs that you do, mevorich aleim, over lasiyasam. You make a bracha on them, over means before you do them. And there's a mitzvah to say halil, you make a bracha. Umay Mashma asks the Gemara, Dahai Oiver Lishna Dagdumehu. So that was the term Shmuel used. Brochas have to be made Oiver Lasiyasam. We assume it means before doing them. Who told you the word Oiver means before? Answers the Gemara, Domer of Nachman Bayitzchok, the Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk. Pasuk in Shmuel, Vayehi Mo Orutz, Vayoyme Loi Rutz, Vayorotz Achimaatz, Derech Akikor Achimaatz ran through the plain, Vayavor Es Akushi. And he went before the Kushi. So you see, the Vayavir means to go before. Abaya Omar Mehocha, Abaya brought a different pasuk, but the pasuk says, Vahu Ovar Lifneim Vayishtachu Arotzo Sheva Pomim Adgishte Adochiv, that he went before them. We boy same another pasuk, The pasuk says in Micha Mehachar Olo Apiretz Lifneim Partzu Vayavoyru Shar Vayetzuboy Vayavoyr Malkom Lifneim, and their king went before them, Hashem Baroishom and Hashem at the head. So again, you see, Vayavir means going before. So when Shmuel says, Oivir las yosom, it means before doing a mitzvah, you make a bracha. And therefore, there was no different customs whether you make a bracha before saying halil. However, the end of halil, yalalucha, there were different customs whether you make a bracha or not. And the Mishnah says that every place would follow its customs and its minhag. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.